Yeah, I agree. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first question is, you're going to be able to hear me. Can you hear me in the back? Because they were very worried I wasn't going to be loud enough. That wasn't a joke. No, we just spent a little bit of time on that. Several years ago, there was a gentleman came to Holy Comforter and did not realize that I was preaching, and he left his hearing aid at home. So he went back to his house to get a hearing aid, and he came back, and he looked at the bulletin, saw I was preaching, and he said, "Boy, that was a waste of time." Charlie preaching, I don't need a hearing aid. It's great to be back on John's Island. Always a pleasure. My wife sends her greeting and love to George and to everybody here. She is on a mother-daughter trip with our two daughters at the beach, and I begged her to leave early and come back up here for the baptism, and I won't tell you what she said, but she's not here. One of the great things about being on John's Island is the children are magnificent. The women are all beautiful. My daddy had a theory there's no such thing as an ugly woman. And he's right. John's Island are even better looking. And the men haven't changed much. Last December, I was at that hotbed of revivalism known as the Piggly Wiggly. Y'all never heard of the Piggly Wiggly? Or sometimes we call it the Hoggly Woggly, but anyway. As I came out of the store, there was a pot and a bell ringing for the Salvation Army. And in front of it, there was this small little woman, looked like maybe she weighed 90 pounds, sitting on a chair. She had come in a wheelchair to ring the bell for the Salvation Army. And in a voice louder than mine, believe it or not, she put her finger out at me and she said, "Jesus loved you, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." And I said, "And Jesus loves you, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." She said, "Well, hallelujah, Jesus." She started tapping with her cane in her feet, and I started dancing. I told you it was a hotbed of revivalism. Think about that. The main thing right there is the gospel in one sentence. Jesus loves you, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We baptize him now speaking in tongues. I once knew a lady, found when she was 18, unmarried, that she was pregnant. The father of that child wanted nothing to do with her, and she was sent away to the Florence Crittenden home. Does anybody know what a Florence Crittenden home is? Yep. Used to have them everywhere, it's home for unwed mothers. She was sent to a Florence Crittenden home in the slums of a northern city. For 6 months, she had no telephone calls, no visitors, no money. Her mail was red, all of it incoming and outgoing, and made sure there was no mention of where she was or how to find her or how to telephone her or to have any contact with her whatsoever. She felt like she had been abandoned by everybody, including God, and she believed there was no forgiveness and no redemption for what she had done. She despaired. One brief moment, she contemplated suicide for herself and the baby. And then one day, another short, fat old priest brought communion to the Florence Crittenden home. First time she'd had communion in almost 6 months. They had a little chapel. Set up the communion there. And then he found out this young lady had been a part of a junior altar guild in her church. And he asked her if she would be his altar guild chairperson. And she said yes. She thought, maybe I can be forgiven. Maybe I can be redeemed if this man of God believes I am fit to touch holy vessels and the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And he gave her a glimmer of hope. Maybe God wasn't through with her. Maybe he had not chosen to cast her out. And then that same priest invited them to come to his church. That just wasn't done. We didn't let women who were unwed mothers go to church back in those days. Isn't that terrible? Sad. But she had to come to 8 o'clock and sit in the balcony so nobody would see her. Yeah, I would feel the same way. That was pretty terrible, wasn't it? She asked if she could bring her buddies. So 10 women walked to the church. Waddle's a good word, thank you. Walked to the church to go to the 8 o'clock service, to hear the gospel preached, to receive the sacraments, and to be a part of that congregation. They did that every Sunday. I forgot to say the reason that this person was there is because while she was encouraged to have an abortion, which, by the way, was illegal in those days, she had chosen to have a baby instead. She gave that baby up for adoption 60 years ago. But she had received just a little bit of love. Just a little bit of love. Just a little bit of love. And it made her believe God could love her and forgive her and could use her. You listening? She thought maybe she could be used. So she stepped out in faith and she became a Bible teacher. She became an intercessor. She became a counselor. She's particularly good at counseling young women that do not believe they are loved. It's amazing how many teenage girls don't believe that they're loved by God, their mothers and fathers, anybody else. I don't know why, but it's kind of an epidemic. She's really good at that because she's been there, done that. She's even preached a couple of times, as much as she didn't want to. She became the rector of Crescio. She became, according to the former bishop's daughter, the guru of healing ministry in the Diocese of South Carolina, and continues to do those ministries to this day. Now, how do I know that? Because I've been married to her for 57 years. One little gesture of love by a priest enabled her to begin to believe that God still loved her, could forgive her, and that she could do ministry in his name. And she still does. That's why it's so important for us to know that Jesus loves us, we love each other, because that's the only message we have for the world. One last little war story. I got to tell this one. George, this is for you, baby. Several years ago, I was at a conference, and we were having a break in the morning for coffee, and I wandered around the facilities. I'd never been to this church before, and I went by the nursery, and there was this little girl in there, about a year and a half old, and she was screaming her head off. Right, George? Mama had left her to die. And she was not happy. And she was just screaming and doing everything she could to get that nursery attendant to leave her alone. And I mean, she was doing the girl thing. Y'all know what the girl thing is? Never have figured out how you girls do this. I think they send you off to camp. The girl thing is when you, girls cry, they go, that snot comes out the nose. You know, it just, one and a half, and she is just, you know. And then every so often she would take a breath and scream again, and push that girl away. Just checking. She had a stuffed rabbit. So I told the attendant, I said, let her come to me. She said, he ain't coming to you, baby, I'm going to tell you right now. She won't come to anybody. I said, well, we'll see. I took hold, just barely took hold of one of the ears of the rabbit, tugged, and said, mine. She jerked that rabbit back and said, looked at me, quit crying, just long enough to say, mine. Started crying again. I took the rabbit this time by the whole ear. And I said, mine. She looked back at me and jerked that rabbit back again. She said, mine. About the third time I put my arms out, she came right to me. I got in a rocking chair, put her on my lap. She went sound asleep. You know, there's nothing better than an old fat stomach to make a child. Every so often, the attendant would come by and try to take her, and as soon as she touched her, she screamed and yelled again and went right back to sleep. Then finally, her mother came in at lunchtime, found me over there rocking this child. She said, how did you get her to do that? She does not like men. She said, she barely goes to her daddy, but she won't go to any other man. I said, well, I think it was that she figured out I loved her. And she got next to me, and I wasn't afraid, and I wasn't hostile, and I wasn't going to do anything negative to her. And as soon as she got down there and she saw that peace and love, she just said, I'm going to relax and just take a nap. Just take a nap. See, the opposite of love is fear. What she felt when she was left alone was fear that Mama had abandoned her. When she got in my lap, it was like, this is a good resting place till Mama gets back. She was loved. Jesus loves you. I love you. That's the message you have for the world. Yeah. Go tell them. Amen.